Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
This guy's done everything right. He's raised his family right. He's fought his way all the way to the top of the Harvard Law Review in a blind test, becomes head of the review, the top editor there. Everything he's done is clean as a whistle. He's never not only broken any law, he's never done anything wrong. He's the perfect father, the perfect husband, the perfect American. And all they do is trash the guy. And it's impossible for me to believe they would have said the same thing about a Walter Mondale or a Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton. There's an ethnic piece to this. It's very hard to nail it down because they always cover it in ideology. But I've never heard anybody in this country call its opponent regularly anti-American or non-American.
One minute after the hour, we are right on time and on cue. It's Reese on the radio, and we are live on this August the 9th, 2012. Still no updates, ladies and gentlemen.
Sad to report.
Got nothing to give you. You know, nothing on my personal matter, but next week is, you know, the week. The day of my birth, August 14th. So, if we find something out, it could be tomorrow, it could be Monday. I don't expect to hear anything over the weekend, but whatever. We move on. We have to move on. We just wait, and we wait, and we wait. Now, I've decided, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm going to stick to this Joe Sopcich story, at least for a little bit longer. It's over. We figured it out. You know, it's pretty much a done deal. But until somebody does something about it, I have to attach myself to it. I am going to attack this thing, as Frederica Wilson would say,
like a rabid dog.
I am going to stick on this story. I'm going to attack it. I am going to analyze it. Frederica can say it best.
Like a rabid dog.
Like a rabid dog. I am locked on to this story. And I have to. There's nothing else I can do. There's other news, of course, but we have to get into this. And we played some audio yesterday, and I'm surprised that I didn't catch it. I should have. But it sort of caught me when it happened. But you can check out ReeseOnTheRadio.com. We broke the whole thing down from the beginning to the end, where we are today. How we found out that the Obama administration is lying, flat out lying. It's all over the place. There's nowhere to go now. They're stuck. They're locked. And they all look like fools. But nobody is coming forward. There's been no Stephanie Cutter, the deputy campaign manager. She's been nowhere. She's not doing any interviews. Robert Gates, he's nowhere. Can't find him anywhere. Bill Burton, the lead strategist for the Priorities USA Super PAC, he came forward. He's defending the ad, saying it has nothing to do with Mitt Romney being responsible for the cancer death of Joe Sopcich's wife. He's denying that it has anything to do with that. But you've all heard the ad. You've all seen the ad. It's not even broadcasting yet on television. Everyone in the country has seen this damn ad. But they keep claiming it has nothing to do with cancer, even though they know it does. They can't deny it. It has everything to do with cancer. Even though it's now revealed that Joe Sopcich is a flat-out liar and an Obama operative. He's an Obama supporter. He's hated Mitt Romney ever since the doors closed on GST steal. He's hated Mitt Romney. And he wants a little payback. That's what all this is about, folks. It's payback. Joe Sopcich has an agenda. Oh, and he'll use his dead wife to do it. That's right. He will drag that woman out of the grave. Drag that woman out of the grave. Just to use her as a pawn. Joe Sopcich, back in January, on a TV show called Democracy Now!, talks about how angry he was at Mitt Romney. But he mentioned something that now people are taking issue with. Here's that audio.
Romney answering Julie Kushner's question, regional director of UAW in Nashua, New Hampshire. Joining us now from Kansas City is Joe Sopcich, former steel worker at Worldwide Grinding Systems, who's lost his job after it declared bankruptcy under Bain's control. He's speaking to us from Kansas City's PBS station, KCPT. Joe, explain what happened.
Well, I guess the first thing I noticed after the company was bought out by GST, they became very union non-friendly. I mean, they started looking for ways to eliminate jobs. In my case, in my department, they actually offered to buy our jobs out from underneath us. They cut back on safety equipment. You know, the working environment just wasn't as good as it should be.
You worked at the plant for 28 years. Explain how it changed.
Well, one of the big things that I noticed was they didn't maintain the equipment. The electric arc furnaces, when they broke down, sometimes they would set for 2 or 3 days or a week before they had parts. When AK Steel owned the company, everything was well maintained. The transportation department, all of the equipment that we had to use to haul things around the plant, a lot of it would break down, and so, you know, they would use that as an excuse to bring in outside contractors, non-union contractors. You know, they were constantly after our jobs.
What happened to your 401k?
The 401k.
Do you even know?
Well, I don't think our 401k was affected. Our retirement was affected. When we got the bankruptcy deal, I lost $400 off of my retirement.
That's it?
Because the pension fund was underfunded.
Every month?
Yes, every month.
You lost $400. And what happened to your family?
Yeah. Basically what happened, my wife had to quit working, and we didn't have any health insurance on her. I went to work for a suburban school district, so I had health insurance, but I had to start out at substantially less money. I went from about $59,000 a year down to $24,800 a year, and I couldn't afford health insurance on her. And she became ill, and we discovered that she had cancer, and, you know, we had no health insurance. So the only recourse that I had was we took her to a county hospital, and unfortunately she passed away from the cancer. And when she did, I had this big bill, and the only way that the county had agreed that they would cover the bill, but I had to liquidate all of my 401k, so I lost my 401k.
Mitt Romney defended Bain Capital by saying that profits went to regular people's 401ks. What message do you have overall for Mitt Romney as he runs for president of the United States?
Well, I'll tell you how I feel is that if he would run the country the way that he ran our business, I wouldn't want him in there as president.
And Andy
because
Sullivan.
I don't think he has any sympathy for the average working person.
Andy Sullivan, last comment on your major revelation.
So that's what he had to say. So he mentions that his wife had cancer. He says that his wife had to quit her job. Why she had to quit her job, I don't know. You lose your job means that your wife has to quit her job? Doesn't mention the fact that his wife tore a rotator cuff and then quit her job. Doesn't mention that his wife had primary insurance with that company she worked for. Doesn't mention it. Just omits it. doesn't mention that she was only secondary, had secondary insurance through his job, but kept her own primary insurance for a year or two, I think 2002, 2003. Romney's gone by then, officially, at least by then. And we now know that this guy, Jonathan Levin, was the guy who was running Bain Capital at the time when the steel GST was liquidated, filed for bankruptcy. And Jonathan Levin is a top Obama bundler. But no, he wants to pin it to Romney, and that was pretty much his narrative way back in January of this year. And they tried to pin it on him, which was the whole idea in the first place. Now, I have a theory, ladies and gentlemen. I have a theory. Someone liked this story about cancer, about his wife. Someone liked this story about Joe Sopcich's wife having cancer and dying. Dead people is, that's always a great narrative for libs. Liberals love a great death story that they can manipulate. They can always use somebody's death to their advantage. They love that. They love using dead people to support a narrative. Now, again, like I said, if you go to ResonRadio.com, we document it all through video, all the way down from that interview on Democracy Now to the ad he does with Obama in May of 2012. Apparently, this was all filmed in February, the Obama ad. It was released in May. The Priorities USA ad that just was released, or at least people found out about in the past couple of days, was also filmed in February, which is why the whole irony that if you watch the two videos, he's wearing the same damn shirt. Has the same haircut. Then it breaks down how press secretary Jay Carney says he knows nothing about it. CNN then breaks down the whole lie. Former White House press secretary Robert Gibbs denies he even knows this guy's story. Deputy campaign manager Stephanie Cutter then claims she doesn't know Joe Sopcich's story. And then it's revealed that on May 14th, in a conference call, he's telling the same damn story. And now they're nowhere to be found. Not one person is available. So I'm going to go to this whole argument with Ben Burton on CNN because they've been riding this story. They want to get to the bottom of it, and they just want to ask, hey, Ben, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? This guy is saying that Mitt Romney is indirectly responsible for his wife's death.
Well, just like we just talked about, what this ad does is it tells the story of one guy and the impact that Mitt Romney had on
it.
Well, this is your opinion.
Most independent fact-checkers, and we're independent.
The facts in that ad is wrong.
The impression that you get that he killed her.
So you're saying that there's an impression.
Anybody who watches that 60-second ad comes away and says Mitt Romney is responsible, at least indirectly, for this lovely woman's death.
I just don't think that's true. And we would never make that case.
That's the message you take away from it, Bill, because whatever message was intended in this commercial is not.
It's clearly lost on some folks, but make no mistake about that. But the truth is, what this ad is about is what Mitt Romney wants his campaign to be about. He says that his
right,
central...
Hold on a second, because I want to bring Brianna into this, because she did the fact check.
Okay.
Of course. Brianna, you're still with us, right?
I am.
Now, he's questioning your fact check. I want you to tell Bill Burton, you know, how you did this, how you came into this, and what your thoughts are based on what he's saying that, you know, they never wanted to suggest that Mitt Romney was indirectly responsible for the death of this woman.
I mean, look at what you're saying, Will. Of course, that's not what we're trying to say.
You're not.
If I may, because we were the only ones who were able to speak to Joe Sopcich, lobby obviously is the voice in the ad. And it was Joe who in the ad, as of yesterday, we had spoken to him in the afternoon. And it was Joe who says in the ad that his family lost his health and lost health insurance when he was laid off from Bain. But it was Joe himself who told me that his wife did have primary health insurance, that she was secondarily covered through the health insurance at GST Steel. So it just seemed like there was very much an incomplete picture in this ad, painted by Joe Sopcich's word, put out there by the super PAC, and that when you put this out to a reasonable person, they took away the conclusion that Mitt Romney was tied to her death. And I just think that if you were to have told the complete story, a person watching this might have drawn a different conclusion, and for that point, I think it's inaccurate.
And that's the bottom line. And he knows it's inaccurate, but he thinks it tells a story. I don't know what story it tells. He says that it tells that they lost their health insurance. Yeah, but the guy goes on to say after he lost his health insurance, his wife got diagnosed with cancer. What's that point got to do? I lost my health insurance. That should be the end of it. I lost my health insurance, and every time I need to go to the doctor, I have to pay out of pocket. That's the story. What are you talking about his wife for? What is he talking about his wife for? But he's living off that. And Joe Sopcich knows, and everybody knows, that's the whole idea. A bunch of worthless pieces of garbage. And it may be illegal. I believe that it is. I believe that it is. Because there's no way you get this footage without the Obama campaign. If all of this footage was shot, we're talking about maybe hours and hours of footage of Joe Sopcich. He's got on the same shirt. You're doing interviews in certain areas of the house or the place where they took this video. Somebody turns around and says, hey, remember that guy Joe Sopcich? He's got a great story. Look, we don't want to run this ad saying that Romney may have killed his wife. But you guys are a super PAC, man. You know, you guys can get away with everything. You guys can do whatever it is that you want. Just spend money on it and just, you know, just put it out there, man. This will really, really rile up the base. And it's not like it's beneath this campaign. They called him a felon. That's right. Stephanie Cutter, in a conference call, said Mitt Romney may be a felon for saying that he was a CEO of Bain Capital when he wasn't there and he was working for the Olympics. Said that if he was in any, the SEC should investigate it. Called him a felon. Harry Reid went out and said, this guy hasn't paid taxes in 10 years. Nobody in the Obama campaign has even denounced it. But they went even further to say, hey, if you want to really clean this up, just show us your taxes. So they're bullying him constantly, trying to get him to release the taxes, and they'll say anything that they want and get it out there. So what lengths will they go? They're endless. The lengths are endless. This is a clear example of what this campaign is about.
Well, you know what? I honestly believe that this is their way of wagging the dog on that whole birth certificate. Because it seemed like this whole situation came about at about the time that the investigator down in Arizona, when a report came up on Drudge Report that the birth certificate is indeed a fake.
Here's an interesting question. You notice that no one is talking about Mitt Romney's taxes anymore?
No.
And I think the big argument there is that this might be a distraction to anybody asking to release. Because now that people were talking the other day about Mitt Romney, if you really, really want to take it to Obama, tell him to release his college transcripts and you release 10 years worth of taxes. And I don't think it's so much of a distraction on that level, but here's what I think it is. I think that the Obama campaign clearly wanted this ad out there, but they could not be associated with it other than with the super PAC. And I keep calling this guy
right.
Bill Burton. Bill Burton is, of course, you know, he stumps for Obama. He's, of course, a huge Obama supporter. God damn it, he was on his he's in his cabinet before he left. And he runs this. He's really too close for comfort. with Priorities USA. He's too close for comfort to the Obama administration. There's no way in hell he's not talking to somebody at the Obama administration. He's got friends there. So it's not like somebody didn't know. Now, I don't know how long Stephanie Cutter is going to stay out of the press, but she's got to come out of the woodwork soon, and she's going to have to answer some questions. Hey, bitch, didn't you say you didn't know this Joe Sopcich dude? Somebody's got to ask her a question. Say, bitch, I heard you clearly say you ain't know this dude or his story. Got you on tape. Is this you on a conference call with Joe Sopcich with him telling the same lame-ass story, dragging his dead wife out of the grave? What's up now? And so nobody's out there on the trail. There's nobody out there doing TV interviews. They're not there. There's nobody there. They don't want to be there. They want the story to die, hoping that it can come out and come hang out. Robert Gates can't go back to MSNBC and go do the Morning Joe. He can't go on there with Joe Scarborough anymore. They were calling him out this morning, saying they're liars. They're lying, they're lying, they're lying. Even Mika Brzezinski on Morning Joe, who can't keep the Obama campaign out her mouth. I was going to say something a little vile, but you know what I mean. Let's just say she's on bended knee. I'll leave it at that. For the Obama campaign. She can't help but support this campaign. But even she's saying, these people are lying to us. They come out here and they're talking to us and they're flat out lying. So when the people over at Morning Joe have got nothing to say and they were quiet. I mean, Mark Halperin, the writer of the book Game Change, Time Magazine reporter. When that guy is mum, who's not saying anything, kept his mouth shut when talking about this, he knows that team is busted. He doesn't even want to get involved in this story. And those of you who know these people, you know who I'm talking about. But it's embarrassing. Obama was on the trail talking about super PACs today. You know those super PACs out there, right? They're out there writing them tricks. $10 million they're writing over to Mr. Romney. But dude, you grossed $75 million last month. And that's not just your campaign. That's plus super PACs. Romney gained $26 million more, but think about that, folks. The Romney campaign, including the super PACs, got $101 million last month. Obama's campaign and their super PAC pulled in $75 million. And Breitbart's got a great story today on Breitbart.com that follows the money. And as it turns out, Priorities USA back in February had some money issues. They started this PAC, but no one was contributing. There was no money being given to any of the super PACs. Until Bill Maher came around and donated $1 million. He donated $1 million to the Super PAC. And then the momentum started growing. And when the momentum starts growing on the Super PAC, they decided they want to use this, you know, ad, or some snippets from it, for that matter, and use this guy, Joe Sopcich, to go after Mitt Romney. And that was always the idea. How can we tie him to a woman's death? Because I like this guy's story. How could I possibly tie this guy to the death of somebody? It sucks, man, but what are you going to say? You know? But we're going to see if we can get to the bottom of this. Like I said, I'm not getting rid of this. I'm going to stay on this story and see how it develops. Frederica, tell them. I'm on it like what?
Like a rabid dog.
Thank you, dear. I am not letting go of this one. So stick around. We're going to break this one down. I'm sure more developments will come. They have to. More developments have to come.
You're welcome. But,
stick around. We'll be back at 3:73. I got to play Frederica Wilson one more time. Frederica, I'm on this like what?
Like a rabid dog.
Thank you. That's right. I'm on this story like a rabid dog. Don't worry about it. I ain't going nowhere. We'll be back at 3:07 Radio.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
4 years ago, we made history. Now it's time to move forward and finish what we started together. We have to show the president we have his back.
We can't afford to spend the next 4 years going backwards. I'm running to make sure that by the end of the decade, more of our citizens hold a college degree than any other nation on earth. I refuse to pay for another millionaire's tax cut by kicking children off of Head Start programs, or asking students to pay more for college, or eliminating health insurance for millions of poor and elderly and disabled Americans on Medicaid.
Have the president's back and register to vote. Go to GottaVote.org to register now. That's GottaVote.org.
You know we've got your back.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Last time on Reese on the Radio.
Have you missed Reese on the Radio recently? Well, don't worry. You can always go to the archives of Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Anybody heard from LaToya on this one? Isn't she eerily absent?
And she's the big mouth of the family.
She is the big mouth. She's dropping loose change on the family. She's not into dimes. She likes quarters, half dollars. But that I find extremely odd that she's not around. She's got to get her act together. Get in here. I mean, I can't believe I'm actually saying this. LaToya, please come out and get this family in order. You're the only one left to do it. In all of this mayhem, you're the only person that seems normal here. And you're an extreme whack job. But through all of this, you're the only normal person throughout this whole thing, with the exception of the kids. Maybe not Blanket so much. But all of them, you look like the normal one.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
If I don't recognize your name, you're Rod Nobody. Look, I don't make this much beef about my broad getting into the house to cook me a meatloaf. But they're really excited about this guy going from one souffle to a big zucchini. I don't know what it is, but she can't stop yammering about this.
Was it Michael Simon?
That's him. That's the guy. Michael Simon. Never forget it. Okay, I'll always forget his name because he's a nobody. But anyway, Michael Simon, the bald-headed guy, right? That's him.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, he wears a lot of plaid.
Yeah, that's
him. Because he's dressed like a chef. Whatever.
He's an Iron Chef.
Yeah. Is he an Iron Chef?
Yeah, yes.
Is that significant?
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Is it a big deal in the foodie world?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah, it is. Pretty big.
Seriously?
Yeah, it is.
They can lick my balsamic vinegar.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
We will not take a dime from Washington lobbyists or special interest types. They will not fund my party. They will not run our White House. We're going to change how Washington works.
This headline in today's New York Times sure seems at odds with that promise to put Washington on the side of the little guy, not the lobbyists.
A rather long list of names of people who are working on Obama's transition team or who have accepted jobs in his White House.
I'm in this race to tell the lobbyists in Washington that their days of setting the agenda are over. They will not work at my White House.
The administration has hired several lobbyists, the president of a lobbying firm that worked for General Motors and Fannie Mae.
Sally Sussman leads Pfizer's powerful lobbying shop. She's organized events for the president, and she's also donated money for the president and bundled for him.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner appointed former top lobbyist for Goldman Sachs as his chief of staff, appointed to the number two position at the Defense Department, a former top lobbyist.
Hundreds of meetings between Obama administration officials and lobbyists, and no official record of who.
The number of fundraisers for the president have also benefited hugely from the energy loan program.
Isn't the president opening himself up to just a charge of hypocrisy on this?
Just a litany of people who have raised so much money who are clearly lobbyists.
President Obama hasn't even made a token effort to keep his campaign promises of more openness and transparency. It was all just another lie that was told in order to get elected.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese. I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
All right, folks, we're back here on Reese on the Radio. I think our host is having problems over there with the technical issues. Yeah, let me try him there. Oh, let me pull him there. Guys, stand by one moment there.
It's Reese on the Radio, and I
there we go.
My microphone on. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're bubbling now, buddy.
Oh, okay. How's that now?
Awesome.
Okay. My fault. I apologize, folks. I did not turn my microphone on. Real, real dumb dude there. That's what happens when you control your own board. 34 minutes after the hour right here on Blog Talk Radio, August the 9th, 2012. Okay, so let me break this down. It's for me, I already have started to recognize what the deal is with the press. The press is a mess. That's it. And they're never, ever going to get it right because that's just the nature of the beast today. The story goes a little something like this, and this is why I'm really ticked off, because I'm looking at the Cincinnati paper who did this article on this woman out there who was inadvertently placed into an ad, unwillingly placed into an ad for the Obama campaign. Now, you're going to remember the ad because you've probably seen it on TV. The ad goes a little something like this.
Those ads, taking my words about small business out of context,
They're flat out wrong. Of course Americans build their own businesses. Every day, hardworking people sacrifice to meet a payroll, create jobs, and make our economy run. And what I said was that we need to stand behind them, as America always has, by investing in education and training, roads and bridges, research and technology.
You get the gist of it.
Now, the ad is called Always. So just look up Obama ad Always. You can look it up and you can see it yourself. So in the opening segment of this ad, Barack Obama is sitting down talking about, hey, my words are taken out of context. And as it continues on, it then shows, some B-roll footage, as it's called in the business, which is pretty much, footage of outside, B-roll, maybe a camera going down a road, walking down a street or something like that. So it's B-roll footage of a store in Cincinnati. And the store is a deli called Krause's. And I want you to see it for yourself, because it's very important that you look at it. And when you do, I want you to just bear with me. Let me read you this ad. The owner of a specialty deli at Findlay Market wants her store's name removed from an ad at President Obama, President Obama's website. He's trying to defend his record on small business. 10 seconds into the ad, Always, a man is shown from behind pushing up the security door of Krause's while Obama's voice talks about owners sacrificing to make their businesses run. The owner of the store, Deborah Krause McDonald, said that she did not give permission for her business to be shown and that some customers have told her they'll no longer shop there. She says, quote, I've been put into a position I didn't ask for. She said Wednesday, after a Hamilton County Republican Party sent out an email about the ad that accused Democrats of not responding to the owner's concerns, she says, I'm a little angry. She'd be just as angry, she said, if it were an ad for Mitt Romney. A store manager knew about the filming, Krause Donald says, but was told it was for a survey on riot doors, those metal garage-type doors that pull down and lock to protect storefronts. That might be true, says Caleb Foe, director for the Hamilton County Democratic Party, who researched the ad confusion and spoke with Obama campaign officials in Columbus, Ohio. Now, there's a picture on this ad that says Krause's is shown here in the Obama ad. Now, if they're suggesting that the person in the Obama ad is Mr. Krause, well, they'd be wrong. Because Mr. Krause, Deborah's husband, died in 2007. Now, she appeared today on Your World with Neil Cavuto. And the host was Stuart Varney
from Fox Business.
And this is the conversation Deborah Strauss had with him.
Came into the store and said he was doing a survey on security doors. We have steel doors that come down around the building and encase the building when we're not open.
Okay.
So she thought it was a very benign request, and she said okay. So he went out and he started playing with the riot doors and was filming. And
that was the video. Sorry to interrupt, Deborah, but that was the video that appeared in the ad. And it
wasn't shot.
You didn't know that it was shot to be used in an ad, right?
We did not know. If my manager had been told that this was for an ad for any political campaign, she would have said no.
Okay. Now, when did you find out that it was on? Did customers start talking to you about it?
Well, I came home one afternoon. The phone was ringing, and one of my employees told me that the commercial was airing with Krause's storefront in the background.
And what did customers do?
The customers immediately reacted. we had more negative than positive reaction. So this is why I'm speaking out on this, because I just want everyone to know that really for 16 years, my husband and I have kept this business nonpartisan. It's just a small mom and pop shop.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there's no pop. My husband died 5 years ago, and I feel the responsibility to my employees, especially my manager and her family.
Okay, now, folks, now listen to me closely. Here is the real kick in the ass on this ad, and I want you to watch it closely. The gentleman who is lifting up the riot gate, if you will, the guy who's lifting it up is the photographer. And he's, of course, telling this woman, the manager, I think her name is Cindy, he tells the manager, oh, no, I'm just doing a thing, a survey on riot gates. You know, she's like, okay, fine, blah, blah, blah. Now, I want you to watch the video closely because there's something that he does that, to me, proves that the whole thing was a ruse, and he literally baited this woman. He baited this store manager. Watch the video closely. I'll put any amount of money on it, ladies and gentlemen. He pushes up the gate. He walks towards the front door and reaches his hand into his back pocket or into his pocket like he's grabbing a pair of keys. He's giving the illusion that he is the owner of the store. Or he is opening up the store. So the premise was always to look like here, he's being an actor. He's filming himself opening up Krause's, however it's pronounced, and then reaches for his back pocket to like he's walking to the door, like he's going to open up the front door with his key. The whole thing was phony. The whole thing was a setup. Now, they're claiming that this guy was indeed doing that little survey, and the Democratic National Committee then bought the tape from him, or bought the footage from him, which completely screams of bullshit. Because if you watch that, you will see it. I watched it a bunch of times, and I keep asking myself, when I hear the woman tell her story, I go, wait a minute, who's that in the video? Why is he walking to the... Oh, crap. And then I realize her husband's dead. Then I realize that the manager at the time of the filming took place is a female. So the guy in the video, he's literally duped her. And it shows a man opening up the store. I had to look at it 3 or 4 times, and I keep looking at it, and I'm saying to myself, why does this guy look like he's opening up the fence? And he is. I'm watching it again now.
Every day, hardworking people sacrifice.
He reaches right into his ass. And he walks up to the front door. And he cut it to make it look like he was a store manager. It just disgusts me that it's just so many levels. So many levels of disgust. When it comes to this campaign, you couldn't just ask a business. Couldn't just ask. Everything they do is deceitful, even down to filming a damn grocery store. How pathetic is that? I mean, just how pathetic is that? I don't even know how to... I don't know. I don't even
know. You know what? She's pretty spot on there in her interview as well, where she stated that she's always pushed
to be bipartisan.
Yeah, to be right. Cause even I mean, even she knows, unlike Oprah and the rest, as soon as you choose the sides, you lose half your audience.
Exactly, and the scary part is that she's in Cincinnati. Now, here's the scary part. You know who else is in Ohio, right? Come on, see. Our good friends, the Real Talk Blancers.
Well, yeah.
And guess what? This woman got more negative phone calls, at her store in Cincinnati, Ohio.
then she got positive. Now that is a bad sign. Because if he's not doing well in Ohio, that they would attack a small business just for appearing in an ad.
Or not wanting to appear in an ad.
No. She got the bad press for appearing in the ad. She said she didn't even know. She didn't know she was in the ad. Somebody called her from the store at her home and said, we're in an Obama ad and we're getting hate calls.
I reached out to the local DNC and they did a little help. I asked for them to just haze out Krause's, even though the damage had already been done.
So it was known that you wanted it out because you just wanted to be nonpartisan. I believe that the Cincinnati Enquirer was very hostile to you and said they don't believe you, that you wanted
that's
it out
right.
because you're a Romney lady. That's what they said.
I know they did. They did take quite a spin on that story. Actually, I'm a little upset about it because they accused my manager of being a liar and that I am a Romney supporter. And that's just that is just putting this little store in a nasty political arena that we never asked to be in.
Right. I just want to know about what you do as a small business owner. You work hard, don't you? Tell me what your day is like.
Well, quite honestly, Stuart, my manager is the backbone of this company. I had a severe accident in 2007, so I can't be at the store all the time. I depend on her, thank you, Chris, for being the backbone of Krause's, especially since my husband has passed away.
What do you make of the present sir comment, you didn't build that, referring to businesses?
I did take offense to that because my husband and I built a business on the Boston Fish Pier. We were very successful there for 15 years. And then we came to Cincinnati to be closer to family and built this business. And it was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, especially on my husband's part.
Deborah Krause McDonald, we really appreciate you being with us today. We're sorry you're in this position, and I'm sorry about the hostility expressed towards you, but we're glad that you could join us and tell us exactly what happened. We do appreciate it, Deborah.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you very much, Stuart.
So, you see?
Wow.
She doesn't want to be a part of this bull. And she built her business, nigga.
But you know what? The negative hostility that she's gotten?
Yeah.
If that's a sign of things to come, Obama can hang it up in Ohio.
Yeah, come on, man. That's, again, here's a woman, it's just a deli. She shows up in the ad for literally seconds. Well, at least her store does, for seconds. And it's literally like, whoa, you support Obama? And it's like, you know, that's odd for me. I mean, just for me, it's baffling in so many ways. It's just baffling.
Well, they hurt her business for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I know it did. But then again, the point is that's the reason why she's got to come out there and do this, you know, sort of like this press tour where she's got to save her business. Again, even this is the scary part about it. This is the whole thing that people need to really, really pay attention to. That Barack Obama destroys businesses just by showing up. That's it. Just by showing up. And you turn around and you put somebody in this arena, so to speak.
Unwillingly.
You put somebody into this arena unwillingly, and you completely destroy their business. And you need to get this story out. The story's got to be out that she didn't even want to be in there. The fact that she had to be duped and lied to in order to be put in this political ad, and then turn around people. She knows, everybody knows that this is polarizing. She's dragged into it. She never wanted to be a part of it. He drags her into it, never asking her permission. That's the part that scares me the most. You don't even call her and you say, hey, listen, we'd really like to put you in this ad. And then you could stand proudly and say, oh, absolutely, Mr. President, I'd love to. Never got a phone call. Just wake up one day and find out you're a part of a political ad. A national frickin' campaign. And what does that do? It destroys her business. She's in damage control because of it. So if that doesn't say who it is that you are or what it is that your record is, I don't know what does. I just don't know what does.
I'm surprised there's not even bigger backlash on this one because her store happened to be a deli. Her name happened to be Krause's. And I don't know, up in the Northeast and a lot of northern parts of the Midwest, Krause's took over Wawa's.
Oh, really? No, this is like a really, really local deli.
I caught that on a video. I saw that. It's a small local deli, but most of our Krause's up here are delis.
Right.
Deli/ convenience stores.
That's
what I thought you were talking about when you first mentioned it.
Now, you saw the video, JC.
Watched it 4 times.
Okay, so you what? Doesn't this guy reach into his back pocket looking like he's about to open the store?
With his bushy salt and pepper hair, yes. Like he's the owner.
Yeah, exactly. That's the photographer.
Wow.
That right there is the photographer. He has no association. That's what I'm saying. So for him to suggest that he turns in there and says that he's doing this video for Riot Gates, and then it was impossible. I still can't believe it. To this day, I still can't believe it. But, it hurts. It hurts her store. The only thing I feel bad about is that I don't like the fact that it hurt her business. She worked hard for it, and by this guy literally duping her, he's destroyed her business, and that's what really, really destroys the credibility of this campaign.
Shame on you, Barry.
Sorry, buddy. What do you do? We'll be back. It's Peace on Radio.
They gave him the Nobel Peace Prize without him doing anything, and he took it. He changed healthcare for millions of Americans, even though they liked what they had. He says he will tell Iran to quit making nukes and they will stop, because he is just that good. To him, the Supreme Court is nothing but an unelected group of people. You want president? He is the president. He picked Joe Biden to be his vice president just to show that he doesn't really need one. He wants us to believe no one else in America would have made the Bin Laden call. He is the most arrogant man in the world. I ultimately get what I want. Stay ignorant, my friends.
And you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Reese on the Radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. Going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we're going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
President Obama promised us his health care law.
It is absolutely not a tax increase.
Now we know that's not true. Obama's health care law is actually one of the largest tax increases in history. Shouldn't Obama's priorities have been creating jobs and ending reckless spending? Instead, he focused on a $2 trillion health care takeover that we have to pay for. How can we afford this tax? We're already struggling. Tell Obama, repeal the health care law and pass patient-centered reform.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's...
He's talking about my arguments weak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. Radio. About 4 minutes to the top of the hour.
Got plenty of other news to get into.
Love this intro. Okay, I am a closet Rolling Stone fan.
Anyway, got plenty of other stuff to get into at the top of the hour. There are some. I have to get into this whole thing with how ABC News is covering the this whole deal with, I guess, Joe Sopcich. This was ABC News' report today, which goes to show you this is never going to be covered by the mainstream media, which is in and of itself disgusting. This is... whatever, just listen.
Campaigning in federal Colorado today, President Obama lashed out at those super PACs spending millions of dollars on negative ads.
You will see more negative ads. I mean, these super PACs, these guys are writing $10 million checks, giving them to Mr. Romney's supporters.
But the single most outrageous ad of the campaign comes from a super PAC supporting the president and run by his former spokesman. It features a man who once worked for a company owned by Bain Capital.
When Mitt Romney and Bain closed the plant, I lost my health care.
It implies Romney was responsible for the death of the man's wife from cancer.
By then, we're stage four. There was nothing they could do for her. And she passed away in 22 days. I do not think Mitt Romney realizes what he's done to anyone.
In fact, the man's wife died in 2006, years after Romney left Bain Capital. But the group isn't backing down.
What this ad does is it tells the story of one guy and the impact that Romney had.
To tell.
Well, this is your opinion.
How you doing?
Romney campaign has hit below the belt, too, currently with a misleading ad claiming President Obama has gutted welfare reform.
The Obama administration finally offered to issue waivers to the work requirements in the law.
The Obama campaign is calling that a bold-faced lie. The administration is allowing states to experiment with changes to the welfare law, but insists it is still requiring people to work. Here in Boston, the Romney campaign is already gearing up for the announcement of a running mate that could come any time now. George, that we don't know when that announcement will be, but as I saw at Romney headquarters, there's already a staff in place for that vice presidential candidate. They are at desks. They have computers. They are working away, even though they have no idea who they will be working for.
Now, the scary part is that they don't even – they just say it's misleading. They bring up the fact that she died years later, but they don't bring in the Obama campaign flat-out lying about their association. That's the whole thing. They won't even touch it, which is so damn typical. What can you possibly say? We'll go to the top of the hour. When we come back, Chick-fil-A's in the news again. This time it deals with the police. We'll get back to it soon as we come back to the top of the hour. We'll be celebrating.
All I know is we got 5,000 niggers in this county who ain't registered a vote yet. And as far as I'm concerned, they never will. So you can tell your stiff suits up there in Washington, D.C. that they ain't going to change us one bit. Unless it's over my dead body. Or a lot of dead niggers.
Reese on the radio, and we're back, top of the hour, 1 minute after the hour, on August the 9th, 2012. And as I said before the top of the hour, the Chick-fil-A story, still in the news. But this one is a little, I don't know, can I call it disturbing? I'm gonna let everybody else decide on who's at fault here. Now, a police officer has been suspended because of Chick-fil-A. And you find out what happened. I want you to tell me if you get the same impression that I do in this story. This happened in Texas. And what happens to this police sergeant is, it's compelling.
It was a week ago that we witnessed this. North Texans flooding Chick-fil-A restaurants, all to support the company's stance on traditional marriage. It's that day and that company sandwich that has a Dallas police sergeant now under investigation tonight. Good evening. Thanks for being here. I'm Doug Dunbar.
And I'm Karen Borda. The department is looking into reports of inappropriate comments between that sergeant and two gay officers. New at 6, CBS 11's Andrea Lucia is covering the story from our Dallas newsroom. Andrea?
Well, the Dallas Police Association says it is not taking a side in the dispute over the sandwich, but it claims the Dallas Police Department has. The union leader says a sergeant is being punished all because of what he ordered for lunch. Last Wednesday afternoon at the Dallas Police Department's Southeast Station, Sergeant Mark Johnson walked into work with a Chick-fil-A sandwich. On any other day, his lunch probably wouldn't have caused a stir. But on that day, record crowds packed into Chick-fil-A restaurants across the U.S. to support the company's opposition to gay marriage. And an emotional issue nationwide suddenly boiled over here during an argument between the sergeant and two lesbian officers.
And they saw him eating a sandwich, and then a confrontation occurred.
Dallas Police Association President Ron Pinkston says he doesn't know who started the exchange, and neither does the police department, which is now investigating. But before any investigation was complete, Pinkston says the department transferred Johnson from working evenings here at Southeast Patrol to working this midnight shift here at the Dallas County Jail.
There was comments to me that he's a supervisor, he shouldn't have brought that chicken sandwich to work that day.
The department spokesperson maintains the issue isn't the sandwich, but whether inappropriate comments were made. Pinkston, though, says the transfer indicates otherwise.
They didn't ask him his side of the story. Anything. The department took a side on the issue and transferred him immediately.
And he says working overnight at the jail amounts to punishment without due process. Well, we asked the police department about the sergeant's transfer. Now, a spokesperson told me that the department does not discuss personnel matters. Again, their only comment on the record, this is not about a sandwich. Reporting live in the news, I'm Andrea Lucia, CBS 11 News. Thank you, Andrea.
Okay, so, they're saying it has nothing to do with a sandwich. But the guy walks into his station with a Chick-fil-A sandwich, and he gets into a confrontation with two lesbians? Come on! And
did they say what he said?
No. See, that's the thing. They say they don't know what sparked the argument. They don't even know who started it. But they say that an argument ensued. Now, the guy goes to Chick-fil-A. He comes back with Chick-fil-A. Even his representative says that he was told he should have never walked in with that sandwich. Now, look. You know I've been calling them the Rainbow Jihad for the longest. You know what happened. Them two lesbians saw him with a Chick-fil-A sandwich on a Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day, and they sat upon him. They sat upon him. They walked in there, and they said, what are you doing? What are you doing?
They posted up on him.
Of course they did. Of course they did. What reason? Did he walk by the two lesbians and say, hey, bitches, got my Chick-fil-A? No. Come on. You really think that's what happened? He was having his Chick-fil-A sandwich. They saw it. Those lesbians set upon him, and then they said, what are you doing? Oh, you support that gay, you support that anti-gay company? And he retaliated by saying, mind your own goddamn business. I can do whatever it is that I want. I went out for lunch. They probably made some comments towards him. He probably retaliated something about their Adam's apples. Something, I don't know. Whatever. But he probably said something back to them when they were getting a little unruly. But for somebody to say he shouldn't have walked in with that sandwich, come on.
No.
There's no way that he started that argument. They're saying he's a supervisor. He should know better. Know better than what? Than an order. Some, exactly. To order some Chick-fil-A?
I can see if he walked in and said, look, I don't give a damn who fried the chicken. As long as they don't fry it in the oil, the two fruits rub each other all over your body.
Well, okay, so there's a strong possibility he may have said something. He may have called them a couple of names. He may have said something that was a little insensitive. But, you know, these are two officers. He's a sergeant. Isn't there a protocol here?
Yeah, there should be a protocol.
Isn't there a degree of protocol here, a degree of decorum at the station house? This is a sergeant. Is it known for two officers to come and step to a sergeant who's, I would pretty much assume he was their supervisor.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's in a position of authority.
This is in Texas?
Yeah, this is in Dallas.
Wow.
Or Fort Worth, for that matter. Let's bring in Edward and Mike. Is there any doubt in your mind that these lesbians, there's two against one?
No, you know what? I'm thinking as myself. I might go to work with a Chick-fil-A sandwich and come in at work and say, hey, I got me some straight good Chick-fil-A today.
You know, man, it's
you know,
like
just joking around, you know.
Go ahead, Mike.
It's like it's Das Chicken is verboten. I mean, that's some straight-up Nazi behavior.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, man.
And then for the higher-ups to punish this guy by making him work overnight at the jail? Come on, man. That's retaliation without due process?
Clearly retaliation. I mean, even if you put the guy on paid suspension if he said something foul, but he never even got the opportunity. There's no review. There's no investigation. You just remove the guy because in some sort, maybe the place is a little, a little sensitive. Maybe they're probably a little more tolerant there at the police station. Maybe the two officers have a lot of friends and they don't want to create some sort of turmoil. They're worried about, some sort of retaliation publicly that says that the sergeant is insensitive to gays or is anti-gay. So they get rid of him.
Well, how many times do you have to be called a homophobe before it's okay for you to retaliate with Bulldike?
Yeah, exactly.
I really
that
kind of
shows you
that he said to what he said to them.
That shows you the power of the Rainbow Jihad these days.
That's clearly the power.
Oh, don't underestimate him.
I mean, it's insanity that they see. There's no doubt in my mind that these two gay individuals, these two lesbians, were allowed to wreak any sort of havoc in that office they wanted to, even to a supervisor, and still they were deemed in the right. He's deemed wrong for even going there. And I know somebody's sitting around going, come on, man, why'd you have to go there? You knew that was a sensitive topic around here. And the guy turns around and goes, I can go anywhere I want to for lunch, for crying out loud.
You can't live your life under the threat of emotional terrorism.
Yeah, I think it's still kind of global. I mean, we got to know what it is that he said. I could imagine a thousand things that he could have walked in there and said,
Well, I am not disputing that he may have said something that was insensitive. Even if he had gotten to an argument with them about gay marriage or whatever the issue was, I'm almost certain that those two women walked up to him and made their, you know, made their statements about gay marriage, what they don't like about Dan Caffey. They contribute to hate groups and all that other stuff. He probably said, look, I believe in traditional marriage. What you do is your business, but you can't. And then it becomes a heated argument. They don't like it. And so they turn around and complain. And then he's the odd man out.
Not, well, they turn around and complain only after he does the Steve Martin dance and say, hey, I'm a lesbian. I'm eating fried chicken titties.
I don't think Steve Martin ever said that, JC.
No, I'm saying that's probably what he said to them. I mean, come on, Texans are rude. But I'm just curious as to what it is that he said to them that you know, sent them and Louise off the edge.
Marriage, not bad. I can actually think that analogy. Thelma's Louise. That moniker goes perfect with them. But for me, I just find it incredibly odd that that was the way that they choose to deal with it. Just because the guy, and the fact that somebody walked up to this, I guess it was his surrogate, and said to him, it said someone walked up to him and said he should have never walked in with that sandwich. To me, just screams, you know, that something else was going on.
Or he's a little more innocent in that situation than they were willing to let on. By that statement alone, you should have walked in with that sandwich. Why the hell not?
It still baffles the hell out of me. I don't know. It's kind of a silly story, but nonetheless, it's, you know, I think it's just a template of where we are today. Hey, did you guys hear about the story about the woman at Krause's?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What is your opinion about? I mean, is that not blatant sort of dishonesty? This poor woman was duped like hell.
Well, you know, I don't know if she was really duped, because the guy did say he was looking to check out the riot gates, and who's more likely to, you know, destroy a riot gate than a Democrat angry at election results?
Yeah, pretty much. But did you see the video?
Yeah, it's just nuts, man. I think it comes from this, they're so arrogant. I mean, you've met, you know, liberal arty types, right?
Sure.
They are totally convinced that they're correct and that everybody just doesn't know how correct they are. So they can get away with anything they want because people are too stupid to understand what they're doing.
Now, did you guys see the video itself where the guy walks into the gate? Doesn't he look like he's reaching in his back pocket pretending like he's the manager of the store in some sort of way?
Oh, yeah, totally. And they figured they could get away with it, that nobody would be upset because everybody loves them.
I feel bad for – I mean, I'm, again, stunned that this woman got so much negative feedback. To me, that's the most telling about this story. That the negative feedback that this woman got on her phone that she would end up in an Obama ad is so telling to me in Cincinnati, Ohio. I mean, I would maybe Cleveland, if not Columbus, but Cincinnati? I always thought that that was kind of a real liberal town.
Well, the unemployment rate in Cincinnati is 7.3%.
That's considerable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little lower than the national rate, but still considerable.
That's not acceptable.
Oh, hell no, it's not acceptable. If it isn't in the Forbes, it's worthless. It's the worst kind of unemployment rate. And lastly, the Joe Sopcich. Oh, sorry, let me forget that. Mike, you sent me a tweet. I had already seen the ad. Alan West.
Oh yeah.
Now I've got an analysis about this. Okay, so hear me out. So if you haven't seen it or heard it, Alan West is being targeted in an ad in Florida. It's called Stop Alan West. You can watch it yourself, of course. Where Alan West is animated with boxing gloves, and they're saying Alan West is a fighter. And in the ad, Alan West is walking in a ring, punching an old lady in the face, an old white lady in the face, then punching a young white woman in the face, then walks up on a black family, takes their cash, and then punches somebody in that, but they never see which person he punches. I'm going, it had to be the little black boy. But they ran this ad, and people are kind of outraged about it. But let me tell you why I think the ad is racist. The ad is racist for one simple reason. Liberals do not like black people who fight back against them. And putting him in that ring and showing him punching women, showing him stealing from blacks, was an all-out campaign to show him as an other, as if he is some sort of attacker of white women and he attacks black families. And calling him a fighter is a negative. It's like using the term neo-Nazi. It's a negative term. Alan West says he's a fighter. And in essence, using that term fighter as a negative thing, look what he's fighting against. He's beating up old ladies, he's beating up white women, he's beating up on black families. He's a fighter. He's that kind of fighter. You guys get that same impression?
He's a friggin' soldier.
Well,
like a legitimate, real soldier.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? But, you know, I thought you were going to say the most racist thing about the ad was the gold front tooth special effect they did.
Oh, that? Oh, that's right, because he's got a little gap in his tooth, and they do put a gold tooth in his mouth. That they do. I have
how much,
I
how much more racist
it.
Can it be? It's ridiculous.
That is this is so typical, because they're not going to be able to run ads like they did against or do things like they did against Herman Cain. But depicting him in this very, very stereotypical role as some, you know, black fighter who beats up on women with the gold tooth, this is, they almost try to make him look like Mike Tyson here.
I mean, what's next? Is
exactly,
he eat chicken and drink Kool-Aid?
Well, no, they would never put him eating chicken. They would sooner put him in a step and fetch it role than they would ever put him eating fried chicken. Because then they would really be offending all blacks with that one. They would be going the extra mile with that one.
This administration, man, these Democrat and leftists, they're out of control, man. This is a power grab.
But, you know, I don't see, everyone says that they're out of control. I think this is desperation. I think desperation sort of reached that habit. You know,
did you hear his speech today about, you know, what we did for the auto industry, we should do for all of America's businesses?
I thought it was the most insane thing I ever heard in my entire life.
And people like to throw out that that's communism because that's who we've been taught in America is the big bad, you know, the communists. That's not a communist philosophy. That's a fascist philosophy.
It's completely fascist.
You know, this guy has more in common with Hitler than he does with Stalin.
Wow. I would have to say so. Yeah, I would have to say so.
I mean, under communism, only the party makes the money, but under fascism, connected businesses still make the money.
Exactly. You'd have to follow the rules of government in order for your business to stay open. The government picks the winners and the losers.
And everybody gets to remain in business, though, and make your profits.
No. Not everyone gets to remain in business.
Well, the businesses who stay loyal.
Well, of course, the businesses who stay loyal. But you think about it, if you want to equate fascism and Hitler in this equation, you know what Hitler does? He gets rid of, I mean, that was the whole, the genesis of Hitler's meme, I guess, if I could use that term. Hitler's idea was that he told Germans, look at how much money the Jews are making in your country. We got to get rid of them. We need to take all of them out, get rid of all of their businesses, and the businesses who side with me, those are the ones that are going to have profitability. And the Jews will get rid of them, and we'll take all of their goods, and we'll give it to everybody else.
And then you get to make the uniforms for the Nazi army, Hugo Boss.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. And you know what?
He did make some damn nice uniforms, so I'll give it to him. That Nazi SS uniform was pretty sharp.
Yes, it is.
It was so sharp, George Lucas copied it for Star Wars.
That's interesting that you say that, because that was the uniform. You're talking about the uniform for the Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sure enough did.
Hmm.
Hey, you know what? Talking about weird connections, you guys remember the TV show V?
Oh, yeah. I love that show.
Okay. Didn't the visitor's symbol on the side of their ship look eerily like a swastika? Look it up.
Which V? The one that just went off the air?
No. The original.
Okay.
Look at the original.
Diana.
The original V symbol. It had the little S, and it had two dots on the side. Eerily similar to the swastika.
I'm going to have to take your word for it. I can't find one.
Oh, okay. I'll see if I can send it to you. I'm going to look it up and see if I can send it to you. But I'm telling you, it looks just like it. When I was a kid, that was the first thing that I saw. I always wondered what they were trying to say when I saw that symbol. I was like, who came up with this? This thing looks like a swastika to me. It did. It's just the whole idea of just coming in, taking over the world, using all the people as cattle, you know, for food.
Yeah.
That's Hitler all over.
Draining all the water.
Yeah. Sounds like Hitler to me. That's just me. All right, when we come back, I got some more news.
Yeah, you're right, man. I just found one. Yeah, exactly. Very reminiscent, yeah.
Oh yeah. We'll be back in Tucson Radio.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
4 years ago, we made history. Now it's time to move forward and finish what we started together. We have to show the president we have his back.
We can't afford to spend the next 4 years going backwards. I'm running to make sure that by the end of the decade, more of our citizens hold a college degree than any other nation on earth. I refuse to pay for another millionaire's tax cut by kicking children off of Head Start programs, or asking students to pay more for college, or eliminating health insurance for millions of poor and elderly and disabled Americans on Medicaid.
Have the president's back and register to vote. Go to gottavote.org to register now. That's gottavote.org.
You know we've got your back.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Last time on Reese on the Radio.
Have you missed Reese on the Radio recently? Well, don't worry. You can always go to the archives of Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Anybody heard from LaToya on this one? Isn't she eerily absent?
And she's the big mouth of the family.
She is the big mouth. She's dropping loose change. On the family. She's not into dimes. She likes quarters, half dollars. But that I find extremely odd that she's not around. She's got to get her act together. Get in here. I mean, I can't believe I'm actually saying this. LaToya, please come out and get this family in order. You're the only one left to do it. In all of this mayhem, you're the only person that seems normal here. And you're an extreme whack job. You're an extreme whack job. But through all of this, you're the only normal person throughout this whole thing, with the exception of the kids. Maybe not Blanket so much. But all of them, you look like the normal one.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
If I don't recognize your name, you're Rod Nobody. Look, I don't make this much beef about my broad getting into the house to cook me a meatloaf. But they're really excited about this guy going from one souffle to a big zucchini. I don't know what it is, but she can't stop yammering about this.
Was it Michael Simon?
That's him. That's the guy. Michael Simon. Never forget him. Okay, I'll always forget his name because he's a nobody. But anyway, Michael Simon, the bald-headed guy, right? That's him.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, he wears a lot of plaid.
Yeah, that's
Michael Simon. He's dressed like the chef. Whatever.
He's an Iron Chef.
Yeah. Is he an Iron Chef?
Yeah, he is.
Is that significant?
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Is it a big deal in the foodie world?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah, it is. Pretty big.
Seriously?
Yeah, it is.
They can lick my balsamic vinegar. It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
We will not take a dime from Washington lobbyists or special interest types. They will not fund my party. They will not run our White House. We're going to change how Washington works.
This headline in today's New York Times sure seems at odds with that promise to put Washington on the side of the little guy, not the lobbyist.
A rather long list of names of people who are working on Obama's transition team or who have accepted jobs in his White House.
I'm in this race to tell the lobbyists in Washington that their days of setting the agenda are over. They will not work in my White House.
The administration has hired several lobbyists, the president of a lobbying firm that worked for General Motors and Fannie Mae.
Sally Sussman leads Pfizer's powerful lobbying shop. She's organized events for the president, and she's also donated money for the president and bundled for him.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner appointed former top lobbyist for Goldman Sachs as his chief of staff, appointed to the number two position at the Defense Department, a former top lobbyist.
Hundreds of meetings between Obama administration officials and lobbyists, and no official record of who.
The number of fundraisers for the president have also benefited hugely from the energy loan program.
Isn't the president opening himself up to just a charge of hypocrisy on this?
Just a litany of people who have raised so much money who are clearly lobbyists.
President Obama hasn't even made a token effort to keep his campaign promises of more openness and transparency. It was all just another lie that was told in order to get elected.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how
you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Minutes after the hour, right in here, bottom of the hour, as you should say, on Reese on the Radio, on this August 9th, 2012. More audio, of course, coming up. Boston, where I did a show for about a year at WRKO, Scott Brown wasn't there as the state senator at the time. Of course, Ted Kennedy was, and he was, you know, he was on his last legs, you know, before his passing. We had, of course, John Kerry, who I definitely ripped apart all the time. Scott Brown, who's up there now, his wife, and I know each other pretty well. She's done my show before. In fact, if I can remember the date, I think it was April 8th, she was on my show in 2008. It was opening day at Fenway Park. We did a live show on Yawkey Way. And I was giving away free Red Sox tickets for anybody who would burn the Boston Herald right in front of me. This is a pretty wild show. So we did this this whole show, and Scott Brown's wife, and her name is escaping me now. It's going to come to me. So we're good friends, and I can't remember her name. Her daughter, Ayla, was also a contestant on American Idol for a little while. She's got a little band. So anyway, that's been her. So Scott Brown, pretty decent guys. Family's old, you know, they're okay. I don't have any, you know, anything ill to say about them. But Elizabeth Warren, the squaw, I've got a little bit of an issue with her. And, you know, she's an ObamaCon. She was almost the Secretary of Consumer Affairs for the White House, and that fell through and it didn't happen. Now she's running for Scott Brown's seat up in Massachusetts. And I understand that they're in a dead heat. I think it's 43% to 43%, somewhere along then. I know it's not 48. I'm almost certain it's 43. I think she's 43.3. He's 43.2. So it's a real, real dead heat going on in Massachusetts for that seat. And Massachusetts doesn't want a Republican or even a moderate to be up there and be the senator of that state. It was alarming the fact that Scott Brown would win Ted Kennedy's seat, a guy who's held it since, what, the 70s, 74, 76, something like that. So Scott Brown's in a bit of a, you know, he's a bit of a battle to keep his seat. And trust me, you do not want Elizabeth Warren to be in the Senate. At least anybody with half a brain shouldn't want her to be there. But an alarming story is coming out of Massachusetts, but it struck me as odd when I found out that this was going on in 18 other states. And I don't know if I can't say I predicted it, because it was obviously happening in 18 other states. You guys might recall I said something along the lines of they were going to find a way to get people to vote through their food stamps program. It turns out, it's actually being done. Little do I know. Here's a report that came out today of what's happening in Massachusetts. And I'm just going to play the story.
Here's what's happened. You have this liberal group that has been suing and agitating to make sure that welfare recipients in the state of Massachusetts are getting mailed at taxpayer expense voter registration forms. What Democrats will say, Stuart, is that they are simply proactively and robustly trying to enforce the 1993 federal voter law. But here's where it gets interesting. Scott Brown's pointing out, hang on, this isn't just any liberal group. This isn't just the enforcement of a federal law. This is a group that happens to employ the daughter of one Elizabeth Warren, who's running for Senate against him, and several of the people on the board of this group are major donors to the Warren campaign.
Right.
So I think the bottom line here, Stuart, is that the Democrats may be on terra firma when it comes to the law, but I think Scott Brown is right and shrewd politically to point out what a lot of taxpayers and voters might see as a big conflict of interest and an appearance of impropriety.
So this is going on in 18 states. I'm sitting up here baffled at this. I thought they really found out how to get this done. And 500,000 voter applications, voter registrations are being sent to welfare recipients, at the tune of some $230,000, maybe $250,000. Taxpayers are paying for it. And the group that's funding, well, at least that's behind this, employs Elizabeth Warren's daughter and her donors. Okay, fine, maybe they're skirting the law here, but come on. Somebody's got to say something. I mean, if that's really, really okay to do, I mean, can't we just, you know, can't somebody send out, you know, beer mugs with voter registration to the Republicans? I mean, what the hell can you do to counter that? I mean, if that's allowed to be done and it's going on in 18 states, all hell. There's no way that this guy's going to be able to beat her. You know, get those welfare. I mean, even if there's 500,000 people who are receiving welfare out there, I mean, what, they'll probably get 15%. of those who don't already vote. Probably get 15% more of those people out there, but that's significant enough. But I got to ask, did you guys ever heard of this?
Man, that's a new one on me, buddy.
Yeah, not in any state I've ever lived in. I've never heard that.
But, I mean, we were just talking about this a couple of days ago, talking about how they would send up, is it possible that they would send out letters to food stamp recipients, you know, to tell them, hey, come out and vote for your guy, you know, the reason why you're eating tonight. I mean, come on. What am I missing? And apparently, as reported, this is legal. And I'm trying to understand how an independent group can use taxpayer money to send these out. Because you're an independent group. I mean, you're just a group who happens to back Elizabeth Warren. You should be funding this yourself. But I'm trying to figure out how exactly you get a letter or how you get a voter registration form inside of your welfare check. This seems beyond the pale that anybody would be able to do that. But you guys have never heard of this.
I've lived in Connecticut, New York, and California, and I've never heard of that.
And I'm learning not to underestimate the Chicago machine.
Apparently we shouldn't underestimate the Massachusetts machine either. I'm so sick and tired of hearing that about Massachusetts because I really, really do love that state. And just for the people that I know there, and very few of them are liberal, but I really, really love a lot of people in that state. But I've heard over and over again that government is just so goddamn corrupt. I mean, the worst. The fact that Deval Patrick, and I don't know whether or not you guys heard this story, when Deval Patrick started in office in Massachusetts, that he went and got rid of the state vehicle and went and purchased a bulletproof Cadillac? Did you not hear that? People started calling him Cadillac Duval?
Did it have spinners?
Oh, no. But he literally got rid of the old, you know, state vehicle, and went and got Cadillacs.
Nothing too good for His Highness, right?
I'm going, you know, it was so blatant. Of course, everyone had to know that it was going on. He knew everybody was going to know it was happening, but he did it anyway. And he didn't even return them.
Well, isn't that what the Cubans did in Red Dawn when they came into the small town in Colorado? They took Daryl's dad's Cadillac and, like, confiscated it. I think communists must want to ride around in Cadillacs.
I don't know what that's about. Is there a weird obsession with Cadillacs?
Well, here's a black dude that was born in the 60s, and, you know, they love their Cadillacs.
Yeah, I mean, but damn. I mean, damn. That's, for me, it's just a little too much. Is that JC? JC's got a problem with the Cadillac reference?
I still own a Caddy.
Of course you do. Of course you own a Cadillac.
That's how I drive.
Is that a black man's definition of wealth?
No.
Well, what is it?
You need a damn second job to maintain them.
Well, I'm just wondering whether or not this, because I look at Cadillacs, I mean, not since the Electra 225 have I ever been interested in one. Come on.
I love them. They're just really maintained.
The Electra,
I mean, they're really comfortable.
Nobody here, the Electra 225?
The deuce and a quarter.
Yeah, come on.
No, dude. I mean, who are you talking to?
You guys don't. Come on, not even you, Edward, the Electra 225?
That's
I'm
a Buick.
Not really a car guy, dude.
You said that's a Buick?
Yeah.
That's an Electra 225 is a Buick?
Yes, it sure is.
Wow, you really aren't black, dude.
Yeah, I know. Damn it. That was just so obvious. The Electra 225 was a Buick. I always thought that was a Cadillac.
No.
I grew up. Although,
I'm wondering, like, what the hell is he talking about, Electra?
But I remember. It was a real big car. My cousin's dad, who's a police officer.
Oh, Larriac.
He owned it, and it had those big windows.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know much about cars. Hey, my first car was a yellow Pacer. What else can I say?
They gave him the Nobel Peace Prize without him doing anything, and he took it. He changed healthcare for millions of Americans, even though they liked what they had. He says he will tell Iran to quit making nukes, and they will stop, because he is just that good. To him, the Supreme Court is nothing but an unelected group of people. You want president? He is the president. He picked Joe Biden to be his vice president just to show that he doesn't really need one. He wants us to believe no one else in America would have made the Bin Laden call. He is the most arrogant man in the world. I ultimately get what I want. Stay ignorant, my friends.
On the radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up and spend some time with Reese on the radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we are going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
President Obama promised us his health care law.
It is absolutely not a tax increase.
Now we know that's not true. Obama's health care law is actually one of the largest tax increases in history. Shouldn't Obama's priorities have been creating jobs and ending reckless spending? Instead, he focused on a $2 trillion health care takeover that we have to pay for. How can we afford this tax? We're already struggling. Tell Obama, repeal the health care law and pass patient-centered reform.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's talking about
my arguments weak, right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said. Which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. Chris on the radio. We're back. 15 minutes to the top of the hour and the end of the show. Hey, Derek the Bounty Hunter has joined us. I'm not going to bring him in yet because he'll just talk all over everyone. But we'll bring him in a minute. anyway, a couple of news items I wanted to bring up. Very odd story that I just read. if you can believe this, Al Gore has to deal with an inconvenient truth, ladies and gentlemen. And that is Al Gore is going to be at the Democratic National Convention, it turns out. However, the latest news says that Gore has consulted with people and says that he is going to become a convention reporter. This has resulted in some interesting media reactions in the news, but the funniest is probably a wry observation by Jonah Goldberg of the National Review, who tweeted, "If Al Gore's career trajectory keeps up, he'll be a blogger intern at Media Matters by the end of the decade." This is a guy who runs Current TV, and he's been reduced to a cub reporter at his own company? Eesh. I thought that was troubling. I just figured I had to mention that. Also, another story that I heard. Well, it wasn't the Chris Rock story. Oh, yes. Now I know what it was. Okay, folks, if you can go online and look this up, I promise you, you will laugh your ass off. Okay? You will laugh your ass off. It's either irony, coincidence, or just crazy. Just look it up. Tonight's broadcast in the D.C. area is of the Baltimore Ravens playing against the Arizona Cardinals. Oh, sorry, the Atlanta Falcons. I apologize. The Atlanta Falcons are playing, and of course, an exhibition game. The guys calling the game, okay, calling the game tonight at the local Baltimore affiliate, the lead correspondent, or whatever he is, the lead, what do you call him? Lead sportscaster, who would generally be like an Al Michaels position, like on Sunday Night Football. The lead correspondent, I guess, sportscaster. His name?
Commentator,
thank you. Lead commentator. His name, I kid you not, is Jerry Sandusky. I swear to you, the guy's name is Jerry Sandusky. If you look it up online, he spells his name G-E-R-R-Y, but his name is Jerry Sandusky. And he is the Baltimore Ravens lead commentator for their local sport.
Is that for PBO Pro?
I look up at the screen because it's 7:30. I had noticed yesterday, and I'll give you a little background on this. Last night I'm watching Jeopardy because it's a tournament of champions. And at the end of the show, it's, of course, right before our show, at the end of the show, Alex Trebek says, "We'll see you Monday." And I go, "What do you mean you'll see us Monday? It's only Wednesday." So then I turn it on, and I forget that he said it. I turn it on, and I see this guy, you know, not grayish hair. He's got more salt than pepper, but he's got grayish hair. And he's standing there, and he's talking about the Ravens. And I go, "Oh, right, exhibition football tonight." So sitting there, and he's talking, and the Chiron comes up with his name. And I swear to you, I look at it, and I go, "Holy crap, his name is Jerry Sandusky." And he says it himself, "Jerry Sandusky here." And I go, "No, he's not. That's not your name." I'm like, "Somebody get in the courtroom right now and change that name. You don't call yourself that, and you're a commentator for a football team? You can't do it." So sure enough, yeah, if you look it up, that's Jerry Sandusky spelled with a G. Sure enough, he's there, which I think is the ugliest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And in Zimmerman news, you guys have heard that he is going to have this stand your ground in a couple of months.
Right.
I think he's going to win this.
No.
Hey, all the rest of the other crap, that's
That means nothing. All the wife perjury and, you know, all that other stuff and possibly skipping town and all that other BS, that's, you know, that's whatever. But he's going to have a compelling argument for staying your ground.
You didn't listen to that tape too good yesterday.
I didn't listen to the tape at all. Hey, in other Zimmerman news, did you guys see the supposedly mistakenly released photo of Trayvon laying on the ground, shot dead?
So glad you brought that up, Edward, because that was the next thing I was going to get into. I read it on the Smoking Gun, and they said that the prosecutors made a big snafu in releasing those photos. First thing ran through my mind, and I said, the Smoking Gun, you're a bunch of rookies. Because if you don't think that that was released on purpose, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, they're trying
Absolutely.
To get a mistrial. Yeah, because she knows she can't win.
Yeah, the idea is to gin up that faux-ass outrage because she knows that the story has died down, the press haven't been covering it as much as they used to. It's lost its momentum. People have moved on to other things, and they know the black community's attention span is about as fickle as a gnat. And they need people focused back on this poor boy. So for them to suggest that they released it to the media, that's the part that makes me laugh. You accidentally released this to the media?
Well, the good thing about them releasing this, the good thing about them releasing this photo is now I know the exact position to do my Trayvonning photos.
Are you going
to
be...
that with my with my watermelon juice and Skittles?
Wow! Oh, you know what? Wait a minute. Now hold on. Do you have to be on the grass next to a sidewalk, or can you just do it anywhere? Oh no, I think you can do it anywhere. As long as you have the watermelon juice and the Skittles next to you, right?
Yeah.
And you gotta have a hoodie.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not hearing anything from Derek. He should be outraged.
Come on, listen to you guys, man. You're talking about a kid that got murdered, man.
No, we're talking about a kid who got shot.
Yeah, a kid who got shot.
Oh, got murdered, dude.
Yeah, Malcolm X was murdered. Martin Luther King was assassinated.
No, you're
this nigga got shot.
You refuse to listen to that recording I sent to you yesterday.
The recording
that I sent to you yesterday was released. Well, they didn't say exactly who released it, but it was of the conversation between Zimmerman and his first attorneys.
Yeah, I understand that, but when you listen to that thing, it sounds like a DJ Clue remix. It's like it's the only person that's missing on that tape is P. Diddy saying, I thought I told you that you'd get shot.
No. Shut the hell up, man. But no, clearly on that tape, and I really wish you would listen to it closely, George Zimmerman's attorneys are asking questions that we've been asking all along that he can't explain.
Listen, I will sit down tomorrow. I will go over this tape from back to front.
Exactly. I wish you would.
Now, hold on. Now, here's the thing. I want to let everybody know. In the interest of full disclosure, JC, please tell everyone where the source is of this tape because no one else has released it. But where did you find the link to this tape?
I found it. It was actually released on I heard about it on a Facebook message. Well, I mean, the video itself is on YouTube.
Okay, but the video itself is on YouTube, but where was the only place that was talking about this video in the media?
Obviously.
Tell them.
Media Takeout. BlackGossip.com.
That's right.
There's YouTube. Listen.
The Negro version of TMZ.
They're used for breaking stories, though.
Not enough. Their breaking stories are roughly at about 45% accurate. They don't have the resources. They link to anything that anyone gives them. You send them a story, they'll link it.
You know, Reese, man, you just hate the media, man. I mean, so what media is good? I mean, is it like the National Enquirer, all that crap?
No.
Well, that's what they said on Men in Black, right? That's the real media, right?
Well, no,
I'd have to say one that's devoted mostly to parking lot fights and giant jiggly asses is not one you should go to.
Exactly, which is what Media Takeout is. It's a horrible site that caters to the underbelly.
Yeah, but you don't like no media, man. Anything is the liberal media. Dude,
well,
man, come on.
It's not credible, man.
It isn't.
Okay,
it's
not credible, but you know what? The tape, like I said, the audio itself, it's a game changer.
It could be a game changer, but think about it. With MSNBC out there, literally out there, pointing the finger at George Zimmerman as this racist who stalked and killed this young man, why is it that there's never been not one person, even Al Sharpton, for crying out loud, is not promoting that tape? And you know they would jump on that in a heartbeat if it was damaging to George Zimmerman because they're living off that story.
It's just that smoke and mirrors. That's obfuscation of what's important. What did he get his ass with?
Yeah, I mean that's the bottom line.
That's it. Did Trayvon Martin sit on his chest and bash his head on the ground, according to two witnesses?
Understood. Completely understood. You know what George Zimmerman's attorney asked him?
The original attorney, right?
The original attorney.
What do you ask him?
Did you identify yourself? No, he didn't identify himself. So why would you approach this man and then search your pockets as though you're looking for a gun? If you walked up to me and said that, asked me what was I doing here, and then you go into your pockets looking for your phone in different pockets, I'm going to assume that you got a gun too. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to bust your ass.
And we've discussed this before. There's a point where it goes from self-defense to violent assault. And Trayvon Martin crossed that line when he put that man on the ground and started beating him.
According to state law,
JC, I've given you the statute. It doesn't matter if George Zimmerman walked up and called him the N-word and slapped him.
The bottom line is he hunted this boy down.
The bottom line is
it doesn't matter if he did or not.
Yes, it does.
I'm going to
contest one thing that you just said, JC. Okay?
What's that?
Now, you're using the term hunted him down, as Frederico Wilson likes to use. Hunted him down like
a rabbit dog.
I'm using the words of his first attorney, but go ahead.
Well, let me give you the definition of hunted down, okay? You do hunt down a rabid dog. You do hunt down a deer. You do hunt down a bear. You do hunt down a gazelle, okay? Mm-hmm. So in essence, what you're saying is that George Zimmerman came out of his car with the intent to hunt down and kill Trayvon Martin. Is that what you're saying?
No. He didn't have to kill him. He hunted him down, though.
Whoa. To hunt someone down, you have to remember what it is that you're saying. This is a language exercise, gentlemen. You said the word hunting down. And when I hear the word hunted down, there are plenty of implications when you say that somebody was hunted down. And when you hunt somebody down, that is for the essence of shooting them. You don't hunt somebody down to ask him what he's doing here. Hunting somebody down, the expressed word here, or the operative word here, is hunt. And if you're saying that George Zimmerman hunted him down, hunting somebody down is to kill them, to eliminate them. Are you suggesting that that's what George Zimmerman did? Or did George Zimmerman do the simple thing? Because I'll agree with you. What he did was he profiled him, but for good freaking reason. He's black. He wears a hoodie. That neighborhood has been robbed repeatedly.
What? You know, I'm okay. And the boy had the right to be there. See, you know, come on, man. Listen to yourself,
still
man. Also,
with
these black people, he has the right
okay.
to be hunting degrees. Come on, man. Listen to yourself, man.
And profiling is not illegal for a private citizen.
Profiling isn't illegal. It's okay.
Yeah, but those aren't my words. Those are the words of that attorney. I'm telling you, listen to it good.
And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't. Again, it doesn't matter. I think that people are finding these little excerpts of this tape, and they're applying it to their own agenda and their own feelings about this case, and they're making it damaging without looking at this in a very straight and narrow way. Again, I didn't start making this about me supporting George Zimmerman until everybody started making this about supporting Trayvon Martin. And I wanted to say, look, if everybody wants to look at this as Trayvon Martin is the innocent person here, then I'm only going to deal with the facts. And guess what? Every time we find out something new, it turns out to be the same thing. George Zimmerman's in the right. You may not like it, but you got to put an H in your chest and handle it.
No. Well, they're going to court soon in a couple months with regards to George Zimmerman stand your ground case. And when the judge throw that out, I don't want to hear crap about that law again.
Hey, Reese?
Yes.
And the judge is going
to
throw it
I
out.
I listened. I think you need to put that little clip of you with that snippet of Frederica Wilson saying that he's hunting down like a rabid dog. You need to put that in your commercials or something, or in
really?
your drops. That was hilarious.
You like that?
You know, you gotta put something like
dog.
Like Reese on the radio is on racism in the news like a rabid dog or something like that. You gotta use that. It was hilarious.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. All right, guys. Derek, thank you for finally showing up. Where you been?
Man, shoot, man. Working hard, man. Had a few people had to chase down this week.
Hey, speaking of which, I told everybody that my first car was a yellow Pacer. Derek's first car was a very, very ugly brown Gremlin. Remember that?
Gremlin, Derek?
Yeah, hell yeah, man. Shoot, man.
Hey, what did you guys do to this guy as a team?
What did we do
to you as a team?
As a team?
Yeah.
They accepted me.
How the hell did you not know that a deuce and a quarter was a Buick?
Because I don't know cars. I walk and take cabs.
That's a black thing, dude. And you have no more of it.
Yes, it's gone. It's completely gone. That's our show, guys. Much respect to everyone. Edward in Connecticut, Mike in Florida, Derek, Bounty Hunter. Thank you for listening to us tomorrow.